darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
And Urban Family Talk.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media.
And the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors. Even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. I'm your host, Abraham Hamilton III, here on this Monday evening. So much is happening in the news, in the country, in the streets, all over. And I hope to help you navigate a bit of it. But before I go too far, I'm always excited to be able to share with you a ministry that American Family Radio partners with, to where we endeavor to add action to our faith. And it is our partnership with a ministry called Preborn. Over 1.2 million babies are aborted in America each year. In the middle of this awful tragedy, we can do something about it. Preborn and American Family Radio are asking you to partner with us to help moms choose life by providing free ultrasounds. Preborn works with hundreds of Christian pregnancy resource centers across the country, providing life-saving services such as an ultrasound. The ultrasound allows the mom to hear her baby's heartbeat and to see the precious life within her. When this happens, 80%, hear me well, 80% of the moms choose life. That's why if you've been involved in the pro-life fight around the country, whenever there are regulations or legislation proposed that would either allow women who are considering abortion or require women who are considering abortion to have an ultrasound, you'll see the usual suspects come out with their claws extended, like Planned Parenthood and in their ilk, because they know the statistics I just shared with you. 80% of the women who are able to see their babies via an ultrasound, hear the heartbeats of their babies via an ultrasound, they normally choose to bring their babies to full term and deliver them. That is a powerful, powerful fact. These centers, the preborn centers and the pregnancy resource centers, provide mothers who choose life. Let me go back. I'm sorry. Preborn and the centers that they work with provide mothers who choose life with maternity and baby clothes, diapers, car seats, counseling, and much more, and they do all of this free of charge to the mothers. Preborn has a passion to save unborn babies from abortion and to see women come to Christ. Yes, you heard me well. See women come to Christ, because a part of their ministerial services is they offer the gospel to the women who were abortion-minded prior to their encounter. Preborn has a passion to save unborn babies and a passion to see the gospel conveyed. Preborn has counseled over 270,000 women considering abortion, and over 48,000 babies, 48,000 human beings have been saved. 91,000 women have heard the gospel, and over 24,000 have surrendered their lives to Christ. I'm sharing all of that information with you because we here at American Family Association, American Family Radio, and Urban Family, we're asking you to provide abortion-minded women with the opportunity to have an ultrasound. A gift of $28 provides one woman seeking an abortion a free ultrasound, giving the mom the opportunity to choose life for her baby. $140 provides five ultrasound sessions, reaching five women with the message of life. Our goal for this particular campaign is to help to save 3,000 babies. 3,000 babies. 100% of your donation to this cause will go directly to the pregnancy centers providing the ultrasounds. If you are interested in joining us and the Ministry of Preborn in providing ultrasounds, remember, 80% of the abortion-minded women who have the ultrasounds are able to see their babies or hear the heartbeats. 80% of them choose to bring the babies to full term and to deliver the babies. If you're interested, you can call the number 877-616-2396. Or again, I'm sorry, that's not the proper number. Yes, that's the number. 877-616-2396. Or you can donate right online by going to AFR.net. That website again is AFR.net. And I know just from the time I've been on the air that we have the greatest audience in the country, especially responding to calls like this. And it is a privilege for me to be able to join with Preborn in offering these ultrasounds. Again, the number to call if you would prefer to call is 877-616-2396. Or you can go to AFR.net where you can give securely right on our website. Every penny that you give will go directly to these Christian Pregnancy Resource Centers for the provision of ultrasounds for abortion-minded women. So I look forward to hearing the numbers as they roll in as we're participating in this campaign with Preborn. Now, I'm going to begin the program in 1 Timothy chapter 4, just one verse. And I'll tell you guys what sparked this, because like many of you, I had no clue the Golden Globes came on last night. I don't really pay attention to people who are celebrities, quite frankly, because I find them vacuous, if not offensive to the gospel, overtly hostile to the gospel. I very rarely find anything from that Hollywood, you know, celebrity crowd that's edifying, quite frankly. So I don't waste any time on it. I was too busy playing with my kids mm-hmm. and spending time with my wife. But as many of you were, when I woke up this morning, my social media timeline was inundated with references to one, you told Harpo to beat me, Oprah Winfrey. And I kind of wrestled with whether or not this would be the direction the Lord wanted me to lead me with going with the program, but we the Lord and I, we came to a conclusion that this is the direction where we would go. Well, I'm going to begin with this one verse, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, and this is something that's going to permeate throughout the program. So if you're listening and saying, wait a minute, Avery, we're almost into the first segment, trust me, this will be more than just the first segment. All right. It says this, and this is important to know. This is the Apostle Paul writing a letter to his disciple in the faith, Timothy, who's being raised to be a leader in Christ's church. And Paul is providing instruction to Timothy as to how he should conduct himself as a leader in God's church. And among this instruction, he says this, verse 1, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits. So the King James says they're seducing spirits and to the teachings or doctrines of demons. I'll read it again. Now, the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons or doctrines of demons. Of course, right at the beginning when it says, now the Spirit says, Paul is talking about the Holy Spirit revealing to him that in latter times, when you see references in the New Testament to latter times, the New Testament authors clearly view latter times as having been inaugurated, if you will, with the day of Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit was bequeathed among the disciples of Jesus Christ and going forward, which would include, I would add, our day. Paul clearly indicated that this would be something that would be that would occur during Timothy's time, and it is continuing in our day. And it says that some will depart from the faith. How? By devoting themselves. Now, that's strong, strong language. By devoting themselves to what? To deceitful spirits. Now, I'll tell you, and I've said this before, as I was growing with the Lord and growing in my understanding of Scripture, it is something that cuts against any penchant or inclination to lean toward the goodness, the inherent goodness of man when you say, wait a minute. So you mean to tell me that there will be people who not only will follow, who not only will regurgitate, but they will devote themselves to seducing, deceitful spirits? The unequivocal answer from Scripture is yes. Absolutely yes. So what does that mean, Abraham? Oh, well, it means that you may very well, if you are a Bible-believing Christian, that you have the Word of God as conveyed through the power of the Holy Spirit as he moved through those who have written the scripture to come against things that are not merely opinions, they are personal devotions. Sometimes as we're engaging in apologetic encounters or evangelistic encounters or in biblical worldview encounters where you see people that have such a hard resistance to the word of God, it is not merely a resistance that is natural in many instances. In many instances, there is a spiritual devotion that is all accumulated and cultivated within an atmosphere of deception. People will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and, in case you're wondering, and in the Greek means and, and to doctrines of demons. Now, this is, again, this is going to be shell toe time for a few of us. Because I believe it's high time for the body of Christ in America in particular to call Bible things by Bible names. In this particular instance, I am talking about when we are having conversations that clearly have scriptural impact and import, we must resist the temptation to explain them away in humanistic terms. Well, you have your opinion, I have my opinion. Well, no, not really. Because when I'm talking to you about the eternal, immutable, inerrant word of God, this is not merely a conversation about opinions. When we have people who would espouse things that are clearly hostile to the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is not merely a political discussion. When we have people who will twist and contort the Bible, they're not having an alternative interpretation. They very well may be espousing doctrines of demons. In the conversation, and I'm going to get into this more so throughout the program, with one Oprah Winfrey giving her speech. And let me be clear about a couple things. One, I think Oprah Winfrey has talents that God has given her, God-given talent and ability. Two, I think it is undeniable the impact that she has had in the area of media and entertainment. No doubt about it. It would be ridiculous for me to come here to try to act like the woman hasn't accomplished some things that are noteworthy. However, can I tell you something? Let's pull up a chair, come real close, okay? Just because someone may be a billionaire and may have started their own television network doesn't mean that you should go to them for life advice. You want another one to add to that? You probably shouldn't go to them for theological teachings either. But in our era of celebrity worship that has unfortunately infiltrated the church, we have equated celebrity with quality individuals. We have made conclusions about people merely because they are celebrities that we would never make about people who weren't celebrities. I'll give you a clear example. There are people, can I just be blunt with this is a basic presentation. There are people you wouldn't find physically attractive, but because they become celebrities, you all of a sudden think, oh man, they're good looking. Man, you know you're lying. You wouldn't find them physically attractive if they weren't celebrities. Well, that same thing happens with theological presentations. Mm-hmm. What do I mean by that? Well, when you're having conversations about God, brothers and sisters, it's a theological conversation. It doesn't matter who it's coming from because the root word of theological is theos, meaning God. So I don't care if it's coming from Oprah, Steve Harvey, Jay Leno, Jimmy Kimmel, no matter who they are, if we're talking about God, we're having a theological conversation. Now, where we get ourselves in trouble is where we attempt to have theological conversations and we ignore the God of the Bible. If anybody is inviting you to a theological conversation while simultaneously requiring you to exclude the Bible, you should have red alerts coming, bang, 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 because you are probably within the cone of certainty of doctrines of demons. Yeah, I said it. I'm not saying those individuals are demons, but you very well may be invited to a conversation where the ideas that are being presented to you are motivated by demonic activity. Well, you've just stepped into the Hamilton Corner. We're just getting warmed up. We're just getting warmed up. That was probably the jab before the cross is coming. Stay close, because we'll be back on the other side of the break.
Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. I am Matt Staver with Freedom's Call. President Trump affirmed last month that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel, and he promised to begin the process of relocating the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Jerusalem has been the only capital of one nation, and that nation is Israel. King David established Jerusalem as Israel's capital about 3,000 years ago. No other nation has ever considered Jerusalem its capital. The first and second temples were built there. Jesus spent his last week and gave his life in Jerusalem, which was the birthplace of Christianity. There are other many significant biblical prophecies about Jerusalem, and we are grateful to President Trump, who has kept his word when previous presidents did not. This is a welcome step in the right direction. Continue to pray for peace in Israel and stay informed about Liberty Counsel's Israel ministries at our website, lc.org. That's lc.org.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I had a lot of credit card debt, and I couldn't pay my bills. I was feeling so bad. I got to a point where I needed some help. So I reached out and contacted Trinity.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813 to talk to a certified counselor.
They were able to take all of my different payments and put them all together.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
And they were actually able to work with my creditors. I've been able to pay off close to $15,000 in the last 18 months.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
My name is Stephanie, and I'm debt-free for keeps.
1-800-788-1813.
Join American Family Radio for In God We Trust, Saving a Sick America. This 30-minute radio special features Dr. Michael Brown, author, speaker, and radio host.
It's not too late for America. If we'll humble ourselves, if we'll pray, if we'll cry out for mercy, if we'll start beginning with us, not pointing the finger at the world, my sin, my coldness, my complacency, my lukewarmness, my compromise.
Listen this Thursday afternoon, 2:30 Central on American Family Radio.
Jeremiah 20 verse 9 says, His word was in my heart like a burning fire. Hi, this is Alex McFarland, co-host of Exploring the Word. You know, I was in my second year of college as a new believer when God put in my heart an insatiable desire to read His word. And that daily reading of God's word has shaped who I am. And every day on Exploring the Word, Bert Harper and I teach the word so that fire and love for Scripture will be in your heart as well.
Exploring the Word, weekday afternoons at 3 Central on American Family Radio.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio
and Urban Family Talk.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. Did you realize it that all of a sudden, many in our country, they've just crowned President, you told Harpo to beat me, Oprah Winfrey. And I have so much to say about this. And I'll start with saying this, that have we forgotten that one of the things for which then-candidate Donald Trump was mocked for roundly when he initially announced his intentions to run for president was that he was considering, or at least early on in the process of him running for president, he announced his consideration of Oprah Winfrey as his vice presidential candidate, and the talking head media mocked him roundly for it. I mean, they went round and around saying that this, you see, Donald Trump is not a serious candidate. I mean, he's considering Oprah Winfrey for vice president. And they just went round and around about it and using it as proof positive of his lack of seriousness. Now, all of a sudden, blink, blink. As Stacey says, presto, bango, mucho, changeo. All of a sudden, now the world wants Oprah Winfrey to be president. Now, at this point in the day, being that this is the evening, many of you may have already at least heard some of the most popular components of the speech she gave at the Golden Globe Awards, where she received the Cecil B. DeMille Lifetime Achievement Award, where, you know, she She said some things concerning sexual harassment that were good things, that nobody should celebrate sexual harassment. Do you hear me, Hollywood? Which all of a sudden they're attempting to sanitize their decades-long cultivation of an environment where the casting couch was just as natural to the Hollywood processes as reading scripts. Now, all of a sudden, you have this moralization coming from these Hollywood elitists, and now they are the vanguards of morality in America? Please! Please! Not least of which to mention that almost all of the people in that room had known for decades, at least had known about Harvey Weinstein and many others in Hollywood, including the many women who are writing some of the most disgusting scripts and objectifying women themselves. Please, I don't need you telling me about morality. But in addition to that, something that I want to highlight that I haven't heard very many people talk about, this component of Oprah Winfrey's speech that I found to be very, very telling. You know, the Bible tells us out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I say it all the time. To say it differently, out of the wellspring of the heart, the things that are in our hearts, they find their way out through our mouths. Many times people say things and they come back saying, I'm sorry, when the truth is they're not sorry that they had those opinions or even made the statements. They're sorry about the impact that those statements have made. Not always, but often that is the case. Well, Oprah Winfrey said something that I thought was very, very telling that has led me to go into a little bit of conversation. If you would, Mr. Charles, play clip one. This is from Oprah Winfrey's acceptance speech for the Cecil B. DeMille Award from the Golden Globes last night.
I'd like to thank the Hollywood Foreign Press Association, because we all know that the press is under siege these days. But we also know that it is the insatiable dedication to uncovering the absolute truth that keeps us from turning a blind eye to corruption and to injustice. To tyrants and victims and secrets and lies.
Now pause it right there for me, one. And I just want to make sure people hear this very well. Now, when she was speaking at this point, you heard her say that she wanted to celebrate the Hollywood Foreign Press because of the press being under siege and the press's commitment to pursuing what? The absolute truth. The absolute, you probably could throw in, objective truth. Now, why was she so willing to say the word absolute and truth in that particular context? Of course, we know the answer. Because the object of that particular cruise missile, verbally, if you will, was President Trump. In a room where there was almost unanimous contempt for President Trump. Pick up the clip from where it is, or if you want to start it over, you can, and play it again, please.
I'd like to thank the Hollywood Foreign Press Association, because we all know that the press is under siege these days, but we also know that it is the insatiable dedication to uncovering the absolute truth that keeps us from turning a blind eye to corruption and to injustice. To tyrants and victims and secrets and lies. I want to say that I value the press more than ever before as we try to navigate these complicated times, which brings me to this. What I know for sure is that speaking your truth is the most powerful tool we all have.
Did you hear that? Did you hear that adjustment in terms? Now, when it comes to the press's, as she described it, insatiable dedication to confronting a tyrant, there is a commitment to what? The absolute truth. Now, moving away from the insatiable dedication to exposing who they perceive to be a tyrant, when it comes to human interaction, there is a move away from referring to absolute truth, and the conversation now turns to what? Your truth. My truth. Your truth. What's happening here? So it's okay in what, and clearly you see the inconsistency in the logic that's often present in many regressive mindsets, that there is no way to have a consistent and coherent worldview when you are bound to subjective reality, you know? But more importantly, I believe that that is a tacit moment among psychobabble circles, they might say a Freudian slip, where she's clearly letting you know that she is a paganistic, occultic, New Age thinker, where what's really important is subjective reality, which can include subjective moral reality. Your truth. Now, I will tell you straight up, there is no such thing as your truth. There is truth, and everything else is opinion. There is no such thing as your truth. I don't have a truth. Jason has a separate truth, and Jeff has another truth. You know, I've used this as a kind of tongue-in-cheek reference. Say, okay, well, you have people who will tell me there's no such thing as objective moral reality. I say, okay, well, what if you have a person who tells you that I believe that I'm duty-bound to kill you? Is my subjective moral reality just as valuable as yours? Who's to say? You see the circularity in this reasoning. But it brings me here, because one of the things that galled me amongst everything was the number of Christians I saw celebrating the prospect of the potential of Oprah running for president. I'm saying, are you kidding me, Mike? Do you know who you're talking about? The espouser in chief, if you will, of your truth. One of the chief, in my opinion, evangelists of pagan spirituality that our country has ever seen in modern times. Oprah Winfrey. I just want to remind you, this is Oprah Winfrey, who is known for claiming to be a Christian. Yes, claiming to be a Christian while simultaneously espousing that there are multiple ways to God. There are multiple ways to heaven, because you see, what she is describing as Christianity is not the Christianity as defined in Scripture. Oprah Winfrey has fashioned a religion in her own image and likeness. But she puts the terms Christianity on it because it has the most impact to be, the most potential to be received in America, quite frankly. And I've long said, the schemes of the wicked one are mostly directed at derailing the body of Christ. Why? Because he already has the lost. John tells us in John 3, we quote John 3:16, but John 3:17 says, to those who do not believe, they are condemned how and when? Already. So there's no need to promulgate a strategy for continuing the lostness of the lost. If you want a strategy, you want to try to wrap up those who would be followers of the way, which is why the scripture I read in 1 Timothy 1, that in latter times, some will do what? Depart from the faith. So let's get into this a little bit. Man, I'm talking so much, the time is running on me. So among the many things, in addition to her, let me play this clip just so you guys can know I'm not making this up. This is a very short one. Go ahead and play clip 2 so people can get an idea of what I'm talking about here.
Basically, the message of The Secret is the message that I've been trying to share with the world on my show for the past 21 years. Mm. The message is that you're really responsible for your life. You are responsible for your life.
We'll stop it right there. So you heard her say that what she'd been trying to do for the last 21 years was to convey the message of The Secret. Remember, your truth. So what truth is she attempting to convey? Well, let's get into it, shall we? The Secret is based upon a book written in the 19th century titled The Secret Doctrine. Now, I know in the 20th and 21st century that was repackaged into a new book titled The Secret, but the original book was titled The Secret Doctrine, written by a Russian occultist named Helena Petrovna Blavatsky. Mm-hmm. Helena Petrovna Blavatsky wrote this book called The Secret, where she boldly claims in her book, The Secret Doctrine, that she was inspired to write by this presence. This presence that led her to reject the teachings of Scripture and to realize God was within her, in that she, Helena Petrovna Blavatsky, could create her own reality with her mind and her words. Tell me if that sounds familiar. Much of this pagan spirituality has found its way seeping into the church. I unfortunately have to remind people all the time when they quote Romans chapter 4, verse 17, by saying that they believe that they have the inherent power in their own tongue to create their own reality. I have to remind them that Romans 4, 17 doesn't give us as Christians the ability to create our own realities with our own mouths. It's talking about God. It doesn't say you call those things that be not as though they were. It says God calls those things. Read it for yourself. But let me go further with this. Helena Petrovna Blavatsky's teachings found their way to a woman by the name of Alice Bailey, who is one of the chief women who I will tell you was demonically inspired, that's resulted in Oprah's presentation of her truth. Then another one is Helen Schuchman, and I'll get to her momentarily. But let's talk a little bit about Alice Bailey. Alice Bailey reveals that she replaced her Bible and reading her Bible with reading Helena Petrovna Blavatsky's The Secret Doctrine. And she, as a result, Alice Bailey has written over 24 books totaling 10,649 pages that she testifies were written as a result of her spirit guide, who she names Jawal Cool, instructing her to write. Alice Bailey writes that, and she also refers to Jawal Cool as the Tibetan, who is her spirit guide. Mm-hmm. This is what's making up Oprah Winfrey's truth, The Secret. Alice Bailey wrote, quote, "My mind woke up as I struggled with presented ideas from Helena Blavatsky's book and sought to fit, listen well, guys, and sought to fit my own beliefs and the new concepts together." Pause for a moment. How does the Bible describe idolatry? It's not completely rejecting the God of the Bible. It's adding to him all these other foreign gods. Think Solomon. He didn't just reject Yahweh. He just built shrines to everybody else. Alice Bailey said, "My mind woke up as I struggled with presented ideas and sought to fit my own beliefs and the new concepts together. I sat up in bed reading The Secret Doctrine at night and began to neglect my Bible, which I had been in the habit of doing. I discovered, first of all, that there is a great and divine plan." Now, be careful. When I say divine, don't think what you think it may mean. She continues, "I found that race after race of human beings had appeared and discovered upon our planet, and that each civilization and culture had seen humanity step forward a little further upon the path of return to God." Now, when I say God, be careful, because the God that Alice Bailey is talking about is not the God of the Bible. She continues, quote, "I discovered, for the second thing, that there are those who are responsible for the working out of that plan and down the centuries. I made the amazing discovery, amazing to me because I knew so little, that the teaching about this path or that this plan was uniform, whether it was presented in the Occident or the Orient, or whether it had emerged when I, in my Orthodox days," you know, back when she used to read the Bible, "in my Orthodox days, when I talked about Christ and his church, I was really speaking of a new Christ and the planetary hierarchy." Now, when she talks about people throughout the years who have embodied the ability to live this new truth, look at the people she cites. Mussolini in Italy, Adolf Hitler in Germany, Vladimir Lenin, and Joseph Stalin in Russia. She says these are all expressions of the Shambhala force and of certain little understood energies. This is who Oprah Winfrey bases her new truth off of. Her excitement about The Secret that she spent 21 years on her radio program, on a television program that propelled her into popularity based on Alice Bailey's teachings and Helena Petrovna Blavatsky's The Secret Doctrine. And that's who y'all want to celebrate to become president? I'll say this, be very careful of allowing celebrity to overwhelm your ability to reason. Because you may find yourself embracing doctrines of demons simply because it comes in the form of a celebrity pageant.
If you like trips where you have to plan everything, then maybe our tour is not for you. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman with American Family Association and American Family Radio. Of course, I'm talking about our spiritual heritage tours of Washington, D.C., Mount Vernon, and then a separate trip to Williamsburg, Virginia. And guess what? We take care of everything. All you have to do is, as they say, show up. But we take these spiritual heritage tours twice a year, once in June and once in September. Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation, who is a historian, will be joining us for both tours, and he will tell you everything you need to know about the places, the times, the events that we will experience on these tours of Washington, D.C. and Williamsburg. For all the information, just go to the website spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com for everything.
Hi, this is Dan Celia from Financial Issues. Ultrasounds are truly saving the lives of babies. Preborn is a ministry that is involved in placing ultrasounds at pregnancy centers. And my wife and I have visited these pregnancy centers firsthand, and we see young ladies that come in expecting to make an appointment for an abortion are leaving saying they want to save their baby and have this baby. It is an incredible thing when a mother hears the heartbeat and sees an ultrasound. Support Preborn. I can't think of any investment better.
Your gift of $140 will cover the cost of 5 ultrasounds. To donate, call 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396, or donate securely at AFR.net.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Bertha Vickers of Morgantown, Mississippi, is fending off reporters across the Fruited Plain, curious about her recent hunting adventure. Miss Bertha used a Winchester rifle to take down a deer. Now, that in and of itself is not all that newsworthy, but it turns out Miss Bertha is about to turn 100 years old. She's more of a fisherman than a hunter, but whatever she catches and whatever she kills normally ends up on the dinner table. And even though Miss Bertha is about to hit the century mark, she shows no signs of slowing down. According to the local newspaper, she still cooks, mows the grass, and maintains a vegetable garden. Miss Bertha says she's not quite sure what all the fuss is about. It's not like she killed a big buck, she pointed out. It was just a doe. Nevertheless, a big deal indeed for someone about to turn 100 years old. So happy birthday and happy hunting to Bertha Vickers of Morgantown, Mississippi. I'm Todd Starnes.
The Hamilton Corner podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net and UrbanFamilyTalk.com. Back to the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. Just talking a little bit about the foundations of the My Truth that Oprah Winfrey espouses that is often concealed from the masses, and we often get blinded by celebrity, where our ability to critically reason and to evaluate the information is overborne by our fanciful adoration for celebrity. Just talking about the root of Oprah Winfrey's penchant for the book called The Secret, that it's really based on that the 19th century work by Helena Petrovna Blavatsky called The Secret Doctrine, where Blavatsky, and in the writings, Blavatsky herself knew and states very proudly that she knew it was demonically inspired. She knew that. And we're talking about Alice Bailey, and it's interesting that when Oprah Winfrey talks about The Secret, she talks more about Alice Bailey than she does Blavatsky, because Blavatsky was more overt in her reliance upon the demonic, whereas Alice Bailey was a bit more covert. So Alice Bailey would be more palatable to the masses than Helena Blavatsky. Hence the repackaging of The Secret Doctrine by Blavatsky to the more recent book, The Secret. I'm just laying it out. Guys, listen, you can go investigate this for yourself. I'm telling you. So getting back to Alice Bailey, again, Alice Bailey wrote nearly 24 books over 10,000 pages worth of writings by relying on what she called her spirit guide, the Tibetan Jawal Kul. Now, some other facts. When Bailey finally got all of her books together, she created a company called Lucist Trust. The original name for the company was Lucifer Trust. But the Tibetan Jawal Kul encouraged Alice Bailey not to name it Lucifer Trust because she would have more impact by changing the name to Lucist Trust. This company was established in the 1920s, and it was a publishing company responsible for publishing Alice Bailey's writings. After Alice Bailey rejected the cross of Calvary, she willingly embraced occultism. An interesting fact that Alice Bailey died December 15th, 1994, which was 30 days after, in her own writings, 30 days after the Tibetan last spoke to her. When the demonic spirit, the Tibetan Jawal Kul, was finished writing through hers, which she recalls, she dies 30 days later. Oh, and by the way, I didn't add this fun fact, that Lucist Trust had offices in one United Nations plaza up until the late 1990s. Just a little aside for you. But wait, there's more. The second person who has largely contributed to Oprah Winfrey's, and Oprah Winfrey calls herself a messenger. A messenger. A messenger of what? I'll tell you. A messenger to draw people away from the cross and from Jesus Christ and the God of the Bible. The second person that highly influenced Oprah Winfrey's theological developments in an antichrist way is a woman by the name of Helen Schuckman. Helen Schuckman. Helen Schuckman is the author of a book called A Course in Miracles, which was published in 1965. Many of you may recall that Oprah Winfrey, through her satellite radio program, walked her audience through a multi-week teaching on A Course in Miracles. A Course in Miracles. As I stated earlier, when Alice Bailey referred to Christ and God, she's not talking about Christ and God of the Bible. She's talking about the Christ that is awakened inside of her. Getting back to Helen Schuckman and A Course in Miracles, Helen Schuckman was an associate professor of medical psychology at Columbia University. She wrote this book, A Course in Miracles, and it was based, listen to me well, it was based on her experiences channeling a new age Jesus, whom she believed would teach mankind how to survive difficult times. This is how Helen Schuckman describes her own experiences. She said that this voice would speak to her daily over a 7-year time period, and she would write shorthand notes of what this voice would tell her in the development of this new age Jesus. And then she would go and read them to her colleague, William Tedford, who also worked at Columbia University. And William Tedford would type out what Helen Schuckman read to him that she said she got from this New Age Jesus voice. Those writings became a book called A Course in Miracles, which is the text that Oprah Winfrey taught through her satellite radio program. Some of the quotes from the book, A Course in Miracles, said, quote, God is in everything I see, end quote. Another quote, a slain Christ has no meaning, end quote. Did you hear what I just said? A slain Christ has no meaning. Another quote, the recognition of God is the recognition of yourself, end quote. Another quote, Jesus is a man like all other men, end quote. Guys, you can go look this up for yourself. A Course in Miracles. I really don't want you to read the book, but you can look it up. Another teaching from the book is that the atonement is the final lesson he need learn. For it teaches him that there is no such thing as sin. You see the slight distinction there? It teaches him this is the kind of foolishness that got Carlton Pearson off track. She said the real teaching of the atonement is that there was never anything called sin to begin with. Tell me if you heard that before. Sin is just a mythological construct that we carry around in our minds. There's no such thing as sin. She then adds, it, referring to sin, has no consequences. Not all of this comes from the shorthand notes that Helen Schuckman, this professor from Columbia, got from her New Age Jesus spirit. She said that it caused her to see Jesus in a new light. She goes on to say, quote, sin is not real. Last two quotes I'll give you, she says, quote, do not make the pathetic error of clinging to the old rugged cross, end quote. Last one, my salvation comes from me. Helen Schuckman explained that when the word Jesus, and she puts this in quotes, is used in her writings, she is using that merely as a symbol of God's love, not as the old antiquated Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth has no benefit, has no bearing. The only Jesus you need know is the Jesus in you. This is what Helen Schuckman wrote. And this is what Oprah Winfrey taught. So when I highlight for you Oprah's seamless transition from condemning that tyrant Trump and the pursuit of absolute truth to where she just so happened to begin to talk about your truth and my truth and our truth and talk about interpersonal reaction and relations, I am telling you that is not just a slip of the tongue. That is what she believes. I don't have time to get into the audio where on her television program, she rebukes one of her own audience members and saying, you believe Jesus is the only way? There are many ways to God, many ways to heaven. Yet my timeline was full of people saying, Oprah for president. So I just felt it was important for me to spend a little bit of time. I'm merely just scratching the surface. I didn't even get up to Eckhart Tolle and the other New Age spiritists she has on her show. And to be quite frank, I believe she knows she wouldn't be as effective in conveying this Antichrist gospel if she did not call herself a Christian. I think she knows by calling herself a Christian, she maintains the ears of people whose itching ears cause them to heap up for themselves, teachers who would tell them what they want to hear, that she would be able to accumulate for herself more of those, as Paul says in 1 Timothy 4, those who have devoted themselves to deceitful spirits. Because it allows, just to cut right to the chase here, it allows for us to put a spiritual veneer on self-centered fleshliness and covetousness, quite frankly. She goes so far as to say learning the teachings of the secret is what enabled her to get her starring role on The Color Purple. I think I've done enough. I'm going to open the phone lines in the little bit of time I have left. If you want to jump in the conversation these last few minutes, the number is 888-589. I had so many other things I planned to get to on the program, but didn't get to it. 888-589-8840. Once again, the phone number to call is 888-589-8840. In case you may be uncertain as to where I stand, I am one person who am not looking to Oprah Winfrey to become president. Because I think she has committed herself to a way that has already contributed to the shipwreck of many people's faith, and that she is a dangerous person. When Paul said that now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirit and teachings of demons, that was not poetic, fanciful language. That was straight from the God of the Bible. And I would submit to you that Oprah Winfrey and her pagan, New Age paganism is evidence of that. Is evidence of that. And so listen, I encourage you, don't just take my word for it. Go and search these things out for yourself. Go and find out for yourself whether or not Oprah has said there are many ways to Christ, whether she believes there are many ways to Christ. See for yourself whether or not she taught a multi-week course from the book, A Course in Miracles. See for yourself whether or not Alice Bailey and Helena Petrovna Blavatsky helped shape and form Oprah's worldview. And I believe you'll find the very same thing I found. We'll go first to the great state of Texas, to where Charles is on the line. Charles, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Abe, thank you for having me. Hey, you know, it's really upsetting that most Christians will fall for these different doctrines, that they don't know the word well enough to know that all this Oprah for president, all this stuff like that, they don't know the word well enough to know that this woman is not a Christian. Mm. And it's upsetting that most of us will fall for this because we're not in our word. We're our ears tickle for any and everything. And thank you for putting that out there. And thank you for educating our people and, you know, putting the word out there on all these tricks of the enemy of our soul. Thanks, A.
No problem. Thank you very much, Charles, for calling the program. Thank you so much for that. I know we have a few minutes. Let's go back to the phone lines where we go to Tennessee now, where Dalton is on the line. Dalton, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
I'd just like to point out, too, you know, she's Oprah's a big promoter of Maya Angelou and her book, The Temple of My Familiar. That's as in familiar spirit.
Oh, yeah, Dalton, you're spot on. And like I said, I was just scratching the tip of the iceberg. You all know that when you see an iceberg, the mass of the iceberg is below the surface. I was just scratching the tip just in the time that I have allotted. I didn't even get into her relationship and her providing a platform for the self-described Yoruba priestess, Iyanla Vanzant, of Fix My Life, the television show she has on the Oprah Winfrey Network. She intentionally created a platform for this Yoruba priestess. I mean, it is simultaneously alarming and disappointing how woefully illiterate we are concerning the Bible, where we welcome these types of things and not only welcome them, champion them. And I believe if you had a person who was not a celebrity, who came telling you, you know, you really need to get into Helena Blavatsky and to Alice Bailey and to Helen Schuckman, most Christians would say, no way. But if it comes in the form of smooth talking Oprah with her billion-dollar fortunes and her, dare I say it, lifelong fornicating relationship with Stedman. Did I just say that out loud? Yes, I did. Then we would accept it because it comes from the Oprah. Back to the phone lines. Back to the great state of Texas, where Kimberly is on the line. Kimberly, thank you for calling the program.
Hi, Abraham. It's good to be able to be on the program. I had a quick comment.
Sure.
You mentioned the video you watched where Oprah said, you believe Jesus is the only way. There are many ways.
Uh-huh.
The rest of that program, somebody in the audience said, there's just one way, and it's not because you say so. Mm-hmm. And you know what? That really changed my opinion of Oprah. And we do have to take it serious and be responsible for ourselves, take personal ownership about the time that we spend in the world, not believe what other people would have us to believe. I mean, searching the scriptures to see if, you know, not elevating any kind of a personality above the truth. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean, Kimberly. Thank you for your call and your comments. You're absolutely right. In that program, there were audience members saying, wait a minute, there is only one way, and began to debate her, and Oprah attempted to condescend her to shut her down, saying, do you really believe that there could only be one way with all of these millions of people? What you may call God, some may call the light. This is what Oprah said herself. And I know it. President Obama has said similar things. Listen, the main point I attempted to convey, and obviously Oprah is the topic that we use it to convey it on, but we have to be very careful that we don't just swallow things wholesaling because it comes from a celebrity. The Bible tells us that in later times that people would come espousing doctrines of demons, having devoted themselves to deceitful spirit and doctrines of demons. We should not be surprised that those doctrines come through the mouths, lips, and products of celebrities.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.